And hello again, everybody. Welcome in to Winter Classic coverage. Darren, Donick, and Chase, whatever we're calling this show, we're
Preds
live.
Extra.
Preds Extra. Then we'll do that. We're live here at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, Texas. Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth here with you. You know, we covered so many different things of, okay, when do we go on? Who? What guests are coming on? And the one question I forgot to ask you, Ryan, was, what are we calling this show? But, hey, here we are.
Here we are.
It is finally here, the 2020 Bridgestone NHL Winter Classic, and we are so excited to be here. And thanks to Fifth Third Bank, Sudden Service, and Firestone for being a part of our coverage as we are rinkside here at the Cotton Bowl. They already got the band playing. You got music in the background.
Going through rehearsals for when people are actually in this stadium.
Yeah, but we're excited because yesterday was fun. We took a minute and kind of looked back on the day and all the guests that we had, and we're going to have even more of that. Willie, Donick, and Darren McFarland will have a special Smashville Live coming up at 11 o'clock. They are scheduled to be joined by NBC's Mike Tirico and also NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman. We'll come and sit down with them ringside.
That should be awesome.
Yeah, that's going to be really, really cool. And then at noon, high noon, here in the Texas clouds, we'll have official pregame coverage. So the puck drop is scheduled for 1:05. The ice is uncovered. The ice looks pristine.
The ice looks fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, kudos to Derek King and those guys with the NHL for getting this sheet ready to go. But
I mean, there's a few ruts here and there, but I got to tell you, Chase, this is impressive, especially with the fact that this past weekend they had to start all over because of weather that came through. They had to work, I believe, 36 consecutive hours to get this thing ready as Doc waves at us down the way. We are literally set up about 10 yards from the Nashville Predators penalty box?
Yeah, I would say so.
Maybe it's the I don't know if that's going to be the Predators Stars penalty box, but
yeah, I'm not sure either. It's the whole setup is kind of weird just because it's not what we're used to.
No,
you know,
not at all. There's not even I'm looking at the penalty boxes. Between the Predators penalty box, the official scorers table, which is just a little table that you would find at Walmart, and then the other penalty box, there's no, like, doors.
Right.
Like, you can just – if someone's in the penalty box, they can just walk – if there's a brouhaha here today,
right,
players could walk from one penalty box to the other penalty box without much issue.
That'll be interesting. Eddie Olczyk also over there.
Yep.
He'll be on the call on NBC with Mike Doc Emmerich, and they'll have Pierre McGuire in between the benches, and Brian Boucher will be ringside as well. We're going to have, for our broadcast, Willie Donick, who usually does TV.
Yep.
He will be our ringside reporter, so...
And it's going to be interesting because Pete and Hal are going to be where we are right here.
Yep.
And if they're calling the game, and they're going to have to be sitting on the stool calling the game, they're going to see everything up close and personal from really center ice and to the left. If you're watching this game on TV today, from the center ice and to the left, Pete and Hal will have the best view of anybody.
Yeah,
but from center ice and to the right, where the players are going to be walking in, they're not going to have much of a view at all. But Willie Donick is going to be on that side where Pete and Hal are not. And
I feel like there's a chance this could be like a NASCAR road race where we have
vroom, vroom.
Have somebody, you know, have Willie in the turn. And so when once they get past the blue line,
then Willie takes over.
Hey, we laugh. They may get to that point.
It may get – if there was weather, if there was, let's say, if it was 30 degrees colder and snow.
Yeah, that could be interesting.
It probably would have gotten to that point.
Yeah. I mean, it's different. I was talking to Pete last night about, well, how do you really prepare for this? And he's like, well, you don't. You just kind of have to do it. So it's going to be fun to hear and to be a part of, and really, you know, excited about our coverage, and hope you all enjoy it out there here on this New Year's Day. So I did have a chance yesterday, Ryan, to go in the locker room And we'll hear from some of the players that I talked to here in a little bit. But I went in the locker room, and, you know, I could get the vibe of there's excitement. And, you know, last night, how this works, if you've never been to a Winter Classic or really studied the Winter Classic, they do a practice, and they did practice for about 30 to 45 minutes. And then the families, because they're all here, got to come out and skate with the players. And so you had Austin Watson with his daughter skating her around, and Ryan Ellis and his kid, and William Eckholm was out with
nice.
Matias. So all the kids were out, and that was fun to watch. Matt Duchesne had his little boy. And so there's that fun and excitement of, all right, the families are here, and there's some pageantry. Mm-hmm. But then they're like, once this is done tonight, it's business, and we got to take care of business. And I think this team recognizes that they have another level and they haven't hit it yet. And this would be a great opportunity to find that today and get 2 points in the Central Division.
And who knows if anything, if this has been a distraction at all for this team, because they've never participated in an event like this. And this is a really, really big deal for the organization, for these players to participate in an event like this. Doesn't seem to be a distraction for the Dallas Stars. They've been playing really well since late October. But this Preds team, at some point, Chase, we talked about it last night on the road to Dallas at 7 o'clock. At some point, you're going to have to hit your stride if you want to be not only a playoff team, but considered the Stanley Cup contender that they can be, that we know they can be with the talent that they have on this roster. At some point, they're going to have to hit their stride. And maybe, just maybe, this is one of those intense victories on the biggest stage of all, and it's almost like a galvanizing moment, and they can go out west to LA and Anaheim this weekend and just carry that momentum. But I will say, I got to see it from this Preds team for a good 3 or 4 weeks of consistent hockey, not winning every game, but consistent hockey where you can kind of know what kind of team you're going to get when they hit the ice, because now you don't know. You don't know, really, for the last 2 months. You haven't known which team is going to show up on a night-to-night basis, and that, I know, for us, for Preds fans, for everybody, Kevin Weeks even came across as, you know, kind of frustrated as, you know, what team is really going to show up on a night-to-night basis. So it will be interesting to see, A, what team shows up today.
Yep.
I would expect their best effort. I wouldn't expect anything less on this kind of stage. You could just see the excitement on the players' faces yesterday, but they have to approach this like they said they would, and that is with that business-like mentality.
It's a work trip.
Right. And coming in here with the mentality of getting 2 points and not trying to be the star on NBC and in front of millions of people watching.
Look, I don't care if they want to be the star. Just do something.
Yeah.
Like, if Philip Forsberg, if Philip Forsberg wants to come out here and score a hat trick, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably going to mean 2 points for the Predators. I mean, and quite frankly, Ryan, the Stars need to be the Stars, not the Dallas Stars. The Stars of the Predators need to be that.
Sure.
Matt Duchesne. Matt Duchesne needs to step it up.
Matt Duchesne and Ryan Johansson have a combined 15 goals, and they combine $16 million with a cap hit. And they're not goal scorers per se. They have been at different times of their careers. But a combined 15 goals at this point in the season, they need more production out of those two. And what they've gotten out of Matt Duchesne so far, I believe he is on pace for 56 points, which is his career average over the course of 82 games. So maybe this is what he is, and that's honestly kind of what I feared when all the reports in the summer were that they were going to possibly, or that, you know, Matt Duchesne was going to earn upwards of $9 or maybe even $10 million a season, because if you're paying that much money for 56 points a year, that's an overpayment. And the Matt Duchesne that we saw in the first, I don't know, what, 2-3 weeks of the season, where he was getting 2 or 3 points a night.
Right.
That Matt Duchesne has not been that level of Matt Duchesne has not been producing here in the last couple months. So they need more out of their top two centers. They need more out of Philip Forsberg in terms of, you know, I would agree with what Kevin Weeks of NHL Network said yesterday in the sense that there's another level or two from Philip Forsberg. Philip Forsberg
yes.
is currently on pace for 64 points in, I believe it's 76 games, which would tie his career high.
Mm-hmm.
But there haven't been many moments this season, Chase, where we feel like Philip Forsberg has completely taken over the game. And there were a lot of those kind of moments here in the last few years. So we know there's more out of Philip Forsberg to be had. We know there's more out of Mikael Granlund. We know there's more out of Kyle Turris to be had. We know there's more, at least defensively, out of Ryan Ellis.
Granlund's an interesting one.
We think there's more.
I think that's the best way to put it. We think there's more because of what we've yeah. seen in the past in Minnesota.
Yeah.
One thing that I've learned, and we'll talk about this on the other side, or one thing I've noticed, I'm going to throw this at you when we come back and see what you think about certain players that have been acquired by this organization. And we'll do that next. It is Preds Extra. It's all brought to you by Fifth Third Bank, Sudden Service, and Firestone. Our coverage of the 2020 Bridgestone NHL Winter Classic here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I'm ready. We're back. It is Preds Extra here at the Winter Classic, the 2020 Bridgestone NHL Winter Classic here at Dallas in the Cotton Bowl. Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth hanging out. All of our coverage presented by Fifth Third Bank, Firestone, and Sudden Service. So the game coming up, 105, the scheduled puck drop today. We'll have pregame coverage officially beginning at noon, but also a special edition of Smashville Live coming up after us at 11. So, Ryan, I said before the break I was going to ask you a question about some certain players.
Yes, sir.
And this team. I think when you look at Peter Laviolette and the system that he runs, and you know, for Predators fans, they only have two coaches that they can look at in the history of this team, Barry Trotz and, of course, Peter Laviolette. Two different coaches, two different systems. I think in the early days, Barry Trotz, you could say, was more of a defensive-minded coach because that was what he had to do. That was the type of players that he had. Peter Laviolette has by far had more talent because the organization is in a much better place. I look at two players in particular, Mikael Granlund, Kyle Turris,
mm-hmm.
that since they got here, you've seen, especially with Turris, like you've seen flashes of, okay, that's a good player. That's mm-hmm. somebody that you wanted to get, and you're glad that you signed him to a contract extension. And then you see him get scratched for six games as a healthy scratch because he's not performing.
Right.
Mikael Granlund, I don't feel like has ever really played like the Mikael Granlund of Minnesota. And I'm wondering, do they just not really fit this system?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's necessarily, you know, Peter Laviolette knows how to adjust. I mean, he moves guys around, tries to put them, you know, when Tyrus first got here, he played alongside Craig Smith, and that worked. I mean, that was successful. But for some reason, he's had a better season, but it's just you haven't found that full 100% potential.
No, and I'm going to throw a theory out there to you as to why maybe Granlund and Turris, who were both in-season acquisitions in each of the last two seasons, as to why maybe they're not producing at the highest of levels compared to what their career averages are, what their career expectations are.
Okay.
Okay? I'm going to kind of throw an X's and O's theory at you. So, in Peter Laviolette's system, with this talented decor, you have Roman Josi always bringing the puck up the ice.
Yep.
I mean, Roman Josi is
the quarterback.
He's the quarterback. He's the point guard. He's all of the above. And we see it all the time where he goes, as Terry Crisp would say, coast to coast like butter toast. And he goes through the neutral zone carrying the puck, right?
Yeah.
We also see that from Mattias Ekholm. We also see that at times from Ryan Ellis. Kyle, and I think this would affect maybe Kyle Turris more than it would Mikael Granlund. When Josi and Ekholm are carrying the puck up the ice, the puck is not on Kyle Turris' stick. And Kyle Turris, when he's at his best, he's carrying the puck through the neutral zone. And entering the zone with possession, and then kind of setting up shot from there. He's not doing that.
Right.
Roman Josi, Matias Ekholm, and sometimes Ryan Ellis is doing that. And I do wonder if maybe from that X's and O's standpoint, he's not a fit with this team and with the system. Now, that is maybe just a theory. I don't know if that's if I'm off base there.
No, but, I think you could be onto something.
But that could be part of it. And then the other part of it for Kyle Turris is think of this calendar year of 2019. He was hurt a lot. And then when he came back in mid to late February, he didn't spend a lot of time on the second line. And once it was evident that he wasn't the Kyle Turris that you would expect, all of a sudden he's getting bounced around the lineup, and then a healthy scratch in March for two games down the stretch. And then he's a healthy scratch for, what was it, six games in November?
Yep.
And he's now really, ever since March, been bouncing up and down the lineup, sometimes not even in the lineup. And that has to play with a player's confidence big time.
Right.
Especially for a veteran of Kyle Turris' stature, where he shouldn't be scratched. He's making $6 million for this team.
Yeah.
Like, you should not be scratched. But for whatever reason, that is happening. So when you combine maybe that X's and O's theory, and I don't know how off base I am with that, but I tend to think there could be some merit to that.
I think so.
Plus, maybe the confidence thing of him being bounced around the lineup. When you put those two things together, I think that is a pretty large portion as to why it's not working out for number eight here in Nashville. Now, Mikal Granlund, we have less of a sample size.
Yeah.
We haven't spent as much time watching Granlund in a Preds uniform.
Right.
Because it was just last March in which they acquired him. But, I mean, I got to be honest. What we saw in Minnesota and what we're seeing here in Nashville, it's, at least production-wise, it's night and day. I mean,
yeah.
And with Minnesota, he was featured more. He was on the first power play a lot. He tended to be on the first line in Minnesota. And he had great chemistry with someone like Jason Zucker.
Yeah.
So.
But they've tried to give him those type of minutes here. I mean, they've tried to mix things up.
Not on the first power play, though.
Well.
He hasn't received a lot of first power play
minutes.
Not that that would have made a difference with this team, because the power play last season was awful. And this year, quite honestly, in the last couple months, hasn't been much better than what it was last year. So, I don't know. I mean, it is interesting that two highly paid players that have been in the league for a long time, like Turris and Granlund, here in the last couple of years, you know, you spend or you trade away some valuable assets in Kevin Fiala and Sam Girard and Vladislav Kamenev and draft picks to get these players, and the returns have been underwhelming.
Yeah, they have. And, you know, I think that they're showing, though, David Poile and Peter Laviolette are showing that they don't want to scratch $6 million players, but they will. They're going to put the best lineup on the ice. I mean, Austin Watson went through it as a healthy scratch recently, and I think he got the message. I mean, look, sometimes it doesn't matter how much a player makes. It doesn't matter how old they are. Sometimes you just kind of have to send a message, and that's part of sports. And that's what this team has been having to do. Now, with all that said, you want to see them get to the point where they don't have to send messages anymore, that they're kind of policing themselves and that, you know, they know what's at stake. You look at the standings right now going into this game today, the Predators, as they currently sit, I mean, the good news is they're not out of it. I mean, the Dallas is at 48 and the Predators are at 42. So they're 6 points back of Dallas, and Dallas sits in that third spot. So go into today, you win this game, that's 2 points. You cut that deficit to four. So you're right there, and the wild card race is jumbled. The Central Division, that bottom half, is jumbled. I mean, St. Louis has a pretty healthy lead right now with 58, Colorado at 50. I think barring any type of craziness, those two are going to be 1 and 2 in some order. I think Colorado is going to close the gap at some point.
I think Colorado ends up winning the division.
That's what I think.
Especially when they're fully healthy.
Yeah.
Mika Rantanen is fully healthy and playing at a high level. And they have all the cap space in the world. I mean, they were in it for Taylor Hall.
Yeah.
Who's to say that they won't go out and, you know, acquire a different player that's available at the trade deadline that can, you know, really potentially push them over the top. So, you know, those two, I would say, are the elite of the division.
Yeah.
I don't really think there's a close third, if I'm being completely honest. This Dallas team, when they're playing on their A game, I think can hang with them and could potentially beat them in a 7-game series. But I would tend to think that St. Louis and Colorado would be 1-2. I agree with you.
Yeah, and then Winnipeg, Nashville, probably in a different,
yeah,
you know, potential to be a playoff team, but and have some work to do.
I also think we have to include maybe Minnesota in that mix because they've been playing above their heads a little bit.
You're right, but I think they come back to earth at some point.
I would agree. We both think they suck.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I just don't think they're very good. So
right.
I think they'll fall off eventually. So we're live here at the Cotton Bowl, the Winter Classic, the 2020 Bridgestone NHL Winter Classic will get underway. 105, the scheduled puck drop. Right now, the weather, I think, is exactly where they want it to be. It's probably 45, 50 degrees. It feels like an ice rink in partly cloud, or it's overcast.
No,
I mean, it's cloudy.
Is.
There's no partly cloud.
There's
it's
no
cloudy.
Partly.
Yeah, it's cloudy.
Fully overcast. And when it is 55 degree, 56 degrees, like it will be at puck drop, you don't want the sun.
No.
And this is going to end up being perfect. You know, about a week ago, it looked like maybe there would be some rain in the forecast, but that doesn't appear to be the case at the moment. So all systems go. This is going to be an electric atmosphere in here. The league is saying 20,000 or over 20,000 Preds fans. I'm going to guess it's going to be close to 30.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we've passed some already this morning that were lined up outside mm-hmm. and had a couple honk at us. So
yeah, they're already driving around
because we're in the Preds vehicle. So we in our station vehicle.
People know.
Yeah.
That
Pred
we.
Head car.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. People know. People knew on the way on I-40 and I guess it's 35 or 30, whatever it is, from Little Rock to Dallas. People knew.
Yeah.
I honked at some Preds fans driving in. Some Preds fans honked at us and, you know, flashed Preds jerseys at us and giving us thumbs up. So this fan base is uber excited for this game.
Well, and we're uber excited as well as we're ringside.
Not Lyft excited, but no, uber excited.
Yeah. I knew you were going to do that. As we get ready for this one, again, it's Smashville Live coming up at 11. Mike Tirico, Gary Bettman scheduled to join Darren McFarland and Willie Donick. But Ryan Porath, Chase McCabe here with you. We have you up until 11. And when we come back, we'll talk about the goaltending a little bit on this Nashville Predators team. We'll do that when we return. It is Preds Extra here at the Winter Classic. It's all brought to you by Fifth Third Bank, Sudden Service, and Firestone on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It is Preds Extra live here at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, Texas. That is correct. Chase McCabe, Ryan Porath here with you as we keep the coverage rolling.
Dude, and we've done a lot of shows together.
We have. This might be the coolest view we've had.
This might be the coolest one we've done. I'm being completely honest. Like, dude, we're sitting ringside at the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah.
This is as cool as it gets for what we've done. We're kind of kids in a candy shop.
Yeah.
Being able to sit here, and I know you're going to be sitting here during the game. I'll be up in the press box area once the game gets underway. But this is stinking cool, man, and this is going to be a special day in Preds history. First ever Winter Classic, millions of people watching, New Year's Day.
Yep. It's going to be
a rivalry game against the Dallas Stars.
That's what's, you know, there's so many storylines on this. The rivalry between Dallas because of the playoff matchup last year, the fact that it's the first time that either team has played in this event, it's an outdoor game, the Predators, you know, fighting for position. And, you know, Peter Laviolette's coached in one of these, but, you know, not with Nashville. And Some of these guys had played, I think it was Granlin, Bonino, Duchesne had played in outdoor games before, but never the Winter Classic. So it'll be a really cool thing. And you'll hear from Nick Bonino in a little bit. You'll hear from Austin Watson here in a few minutes. But the position I wanted to address, the goaltending for Nashville. You look at the numbers, and they pop out at you because both UC Saros and Pecorine have a save percentage under 900, which is just unreal. Like, that never happens with them. You don't expect that. Mm-hmm. Now, I think you have to look at the numbers of a goaltender similar to that of a quarterback and know that, okay, an interception is not always the quarterback's fault, just like a goal is not always the goaltender's fault. There have been some defensive breakdowns in front of both goaltenders at times. I'm not making excuses, because there have been some lapses of goal as well. So why? That's the big question of why things have kind of fallen off.
For you, Chase, what's the weakest link on this team right now?
The weakest link? I mean, it's right now has been goaltending.
It's the goaltending. I mean, look, I would agree with you that there are reasons why those save percentages are below 90%.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was joking with somebody last night when we were at one of the NHL media events and said, this is the first time that the goaltending has been the weak link for the Nashville Predators since Mike Dunham.
Oh, wow.
Think about it.
Yeah, that's
it's
a
been
while.
That long between Thomas Bocoon and, you know, the short phase of Chris Mason and Dan Ellis, which was kind of the bridge into Pecorine. And Pecorine has been rock solid for a decade. But this season, the goaltending has been the weak link. I don't know if this is, you know, a confidence thing with Pecorine. Pecorine has been pulled in four of his last 13 outings. That's a third of the time. You don't know what you're getting out of Pecorine. My dad, I think, says it best, is he's either old Pekka or he's the old Pekka this season.
And then, I mean, look, that's a good way to put it. I mean, is he showing signs of his age? Is he, you know, I don't know. I mean, I guess you have to say yes, that he is. But
sure,
it's just the drop-off was like that. I mean, it was last year I thought he had a pretty good year.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden this year it started off like, oh, are we talking Vezina again?
I know.
I brought that up early on in the season of, you know, he's playing lights out. It's looking like another Vezina run, and then it's just taken a complete left turn.
And in those 13 games, and really before then, where the Calgary game happened on Halloween, where in the third period – they blew that game.
Yep.
And really, ever since the start of that third period, Pecorine has maybe looked a little bit slower and maybe not seeing the puck as well. I don't know if it's a confidence thing. I don't know if it's an age thing. But whatever it is, the goaltending, this team just hasn't been able to count on 35 and 74 between the pipes, at least consistently this season. And that's a huge deal for this team moving forward. If the goaltending does not improve, I kind of doubt that we're going to be talking about a playoff appearance for this team with how competitive and how good the Western Conference is.
Yeah, and the thing is, if it doesn't improve with those two, I mean, you don't really have any other options.
No.
Milwaukee, I think Grossnick and Ingram have played awesome, but, you know, are they the answer at this level? You know, this season.
They're not NHL goaltenders, at least not yet.
Yeah, I don't know if, you know, making a move is really going to work for you, because, you do have a lot of money invested in your goaltending. So I think the hope is that they just get it turned around.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know if you can necessarily flip a switch. You can't, really, but.
Well, I mean, you could. If it's a confidence thing, if it's an age thing, then I don't know if you can.
Yeah.
If it's a confidence thing.
But it's both goaltenders. It's not just Pecorine. I mean, UC Saros has been up and down.
It's been more Rene than Saros, though, here in the last couple months. But because Saros started slow. I mean, his first few starts were pretty bad.
Yeah.
And now he's been a little bit more consistent. That's why he's been stealing starts, maybe you could say, from Pekka here in the last couple months. But look, I could see how it would be a confidence thing and not an age thing for Pecorine, because in two of three games back in, you know, between the Halloween game against Calgary, the third period collapse, and then, you know, he beats Detroit, but who doesn't beat Detroit? And then goes on the road to Colorado, and it was one of the worst performances we have ever seen from this franchise
right
that night. And he got pulled in that game. Saros didn't look much better, but I could see how maybe in a 2-of-3 stretch where you're giving up a bunch of goals, how that might shake the confidence a little bit.
Yeah.
You would think that, you know, the shutout in Carolina on Black Friday, that maybe that would get him back on track. It hasn't really gotten him back on track. You would think the win against Boston, the win against Arizona would get him back on track. And, you know, then he gets pulled on the 27th last Friday at home against Pittsburgh. I think he looked better Saturday night in Pittsburgh once he relieved Saros. But you had back-to-back nights where the goalie's getting pulled in the first period. Like, you just can't. You can't trust those two right now, and that's, I think, a really frustrating part of all this.
Well, if only we knew a goaltender that we could ask about goaltending, and it turns out that we do. Brian Boucher from NBC Sports joined Darren McFarland and myself yesterday, and we talked about that. And you know, one thing I asked him, and you'll hear this in the next segment, is about when Pecorine first started, he had to play consistently. I mean, it couldn't be a start here and there to really see the true Pecorine and him, you know, get into his form. He had to play consecutive games, and, you know, that's a difficult adjustment for goaltenders as they get older. So you'll hear from Brian Boucher of NBC. He'll be here on the coverage for them today. When we come back, it is Preds Extra. We're at the 2020 Bridgestone NHL Winter Classic. It's all brought to you by Fifth Third Bank, Sudden Service, and Firestone on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And welcome back into Preds Extra here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth, hanging out here at the Cotton Bowl of the it's the 2020 Bridgestone NHL Winter Classic, brought to you by Fifth Third Bank, Sudden Service, and Firestone. And in this business, sometimes you tease one thing and you got to shift into another.
Yep.
We actually have a guest live on the line with us, Mike Rupp of the NHL Network, joining us. And Mike, we see you. You probably don't see us. But we're rinkside, and we see you way up there,
right next to the penalty boxes.
Yeah, so good to talk to you. This is a pretty,
pretty
cool event to be a part of, and we like our seat down here. But you got a pretty good one as well.
Yeah, we both. You guys got the up close and personal. We got the more scenic one up here. It's awesome so far what we're seeing, and the thing I love about these Winter Classics is watching the slow build as far as the fans coming in. The energy starts picking up, you know, after warm-ups, then you come out for the game to start and the national anthem, and then the place is really buzzing. So I think that's something that we're all going to feel in here. And this place, awesome job they did here in Dallas putting this on so far. It looks great.
Now, from what I remember, you played in two of these, is that right?
Yep. Yeah, I played in the one in 2011 in Pittsburgh versus Washington. And then in 2012 in Philly with the New York Rangers.
So what was the process like for you, not knowing what to expect being on an outdoor rink like this? Did you do anything differently as you got ready for the game the first time you played it?
Yeah, you know, that practice that you got, which these guys got yesterday, is a real big part. You try to see just the different fields, the different sight lines. Not having seats and fans directly behind the glass is a little bit of an adjustment. You lose the puck a little bit more when it goes up in the air. You know, you like to practice around the time of the game, so you can see, okay, this time of day the sun is about this area. So you kind of get to feel all those logistical things out. But I find that you end up, once you got out here, I remember even, it might be a little different here because of the weather, but in those other places, you're wearing more layers. You're trying to stay warm. You're doing these things. And once the game starts, guys go in the locker room and they just throw all that junk off. And they're like, I just want to play hockey. I just want to be used to doing what you're normally doing. So you might try to prepare, but then once you get out there and you get playing, you pretty much just go back to the normal.
Mike Rupp of the NHL Network here with us live at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, Texas. And Mike, kind of speaking on those two games that you played in Pittsburgh and in Philadelphia with the Penguins and then with the Rangers, one as a home team and then the other as an away team. those were two rivalry games, Caps-Pens, Rangers-Flyers, this one here, Preds-Stars, a budding rivalry between these two teams after what happened in the playoffs last year. How did that maybe add another element or another layer of intensity and things like that to the game experience for you?
No, I think it's everything. I think that I've kind of, in the past, when you have some of these matchups, I always look at, I want to see the rivalries. I want to be a part of the rivalry when I'm playing in it. I think that goes really deep, runs really deep. And, you know, you want the fans to have that rivalry too. So, you know, I'm expecting, I think we're all expecting a boatload of Nashville Predator fans in here. And you want them to represent here and, you know, kind of get that going as well. I mean, this is a rivalry, like you mentioned, that's still building. And this could be just another chapter in it. So you want to make sure that you come out and listen. The one thing I noticed from winning this game, the first time that I was in it, we lost the game. Second time we won the game. Two different, completely different things. You got to manage it, because when you lose it, it feels like you're knocked out of the playoffs. When you win it, it feels like you won the Stanley Cup. And at the end of the day, it's still just 2 points. So if you can win it, you want to use it as momentum moving forward, and it can really kind of change the vibe of the season.
So how did you do that with the New York Rangers back in 2012? How did you guys maybe balance being excited about winning what a lot of people say is the Super Bowl of the regular season, the highest rated, most watched game of the NHL regular season, but also carrying forward and not, like you said, not treating it like you just won the Stanley Cup?
Well, we had a coach in John Tortorella that was he did a pretty good job of keeping it down to earth. So we enjoyed it in that moment. And once we got back going, you know, it just gets back to we haven't done anything yet. I mean, at the end of the day, as big as this is and how long this has been circled on this calendar, it's still just 2 points. And I'm not trying to downplay it. This is an event that you have family and friends, everybody coming for. You want to win this game more than anything, but you got to also manage. It's still just 2 points in the 82-game season, so it's not make or break.
Mike Rupp of the NHL Network is with us. So now let's break down the two teams, and I'll start with the Nashville Predators. You know, we're around them all the time. We cover this team on a daily basis, and we're very aware of the inconsistencies that they have in their lineup right now. And what's so frustrating about it, Mike, is the talent is there. I mean, you see what David Poile has been able to bring in for this team. When you look at the Nashville Predators, where do you think they're off, and where do you think that they can get to that next level?
Well, they've got to get more production out of some forwards, I think. You know, that's an area where this team should be different now. They're built a little different. They have more talent than they probably had in the past. Players like my former teammate, Mikael Granlund, he's a heck of a player. He finally started, I think he got his first goal or second goal or whatever last week. Getting him going and being consistent is huge, because he's capable of doing it. Craig Smith, I think, is the most talented goal scorer on this team, but he's hot and he's cold. Those are things you need to good teams, they get those guys contributing consistently. So I think that's a big piece for this team. Obviously, helping out their goaltenders, that's been an issue a little bit this season, is the goaltending and kind of defending and, you know, making sure your goaltenders, that you're not allowing second chance efforts for the other team. If they get a shot on goal, whether it's Pekka Rinne or UC Saros, they make that first save, you better be sure that their player isn't the first one to the puck on the rebound. So those are things that I think there's just consistency with this team. It hasn't been there yet. But this is, again, an opportunity for them to really springboard their season in this big game.
Mike, last thing for you on the Dallas Stars side of things. It seems to not really matter who their coach is. You know, they went through a coaching change here in the last couple of weeks, but seems like right now, since mid to late October, they've been really consistent. Why do you think that is with this team?
Yeah, they seem to be playing fun brand of hockey. Winning is fun. It's going to bring that out of you. Their coach that took over, Rick Bowness, is one of the more respected coaches in NHL history, and he's gonna have you playing hard, playing the right way, and having fun and playing for one another. I think that goes a long way. They defend first. I think that's so big in this league. As much as we want to say, and the game has changed with offense, speed, and skill, you still got to defend to win consistently. They did that last year. They were struggling early on this year, and then they started getting it going. So they're kind of rolling in a good way.
Mike Rupp of the NHL Network, hey, we appreciate the time this morning, and we enjoy your coverage on NHL Network. Have fun and enjoy the game.
All right, thank you, guys. Enjoy.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike Rupp. So good to talk to him and get that perspective of somebody that had played in this Winter Classic a couple times. And like I said, with the Predators,
yeah,
they had three guys that had played in outdoor games, but never the Winter Classic. So it is quite an adjustment.
And I think Mike, just watching, we can see him. I believe, yeah, Kevin Weeks and Jamie Hirsch are up there as well, about to go live at 10 o'clock on NHL Network. So that is literally like two, yeah, minutes from now.
Yeah, they were starting their coverage. We had Jamie Hirsch and Kevin Weeks on yesterday. So really appreciate the NHL Network.
To paint the picture, Mike Rupp was looking right at us,
yep,
from up in the concourse level with the phone, and now he's just turned around and handed the phone to somebody, and he's ready,
yep,
to go.
He is ready to rock and roll. He is Ryan Porth. I am Chase McCabe. When we come back, you will hear from Brian Boucher here in a little bit, but when we come back, we will – paint the picture. Do a scene setter, so to speak. You'll also hear from Austin Watson. That is all next on Preds Extra here at the 2020 Bridgestone NHL Winter Classic, brought to you by Fifth Third Bank, Sudden Service, and Firestone on ESPN 102.5 The Game.